Have you taken on cultural norms and confused them with truth and then imposed them upon other people and created unnecessary guilt in their lives? Oh, boy. Well, you're about to hear one. If you listen in still, Colin Cook here, and How It Happens, thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on good news, and we follow through the book of Romans to get this good news about God our Father and what he has done in his Son Jesus Christ and how we train our faith in him. And presently, instead of going verse by verse through Romans, I'm going topic by topic. And today, or this week, we're looking at the topic, I believe, but I can't stop my porn. This may help you more than you know, even if you don't struggle with that, because it is talking about how we learn the truth of God's grace in Jesus. So we can learn to overcome pornography, but it is more accurate to say we learn to grow through our struggle and our experience with pornography, until we realize we grow beyond it. We learn to grow through our pornography, paradoxically and amazingly, by introducing the grace of God, by allowing ourselves to know we are in the kingdom of God while we are going through this experience and this struggle. And as we do, we realize we're more mature now, we don't need it so much, or we don't have that rush, so we're not dragged into it, we are not helpless, or we learn that there are certain things in childhood that stimulated us to pornography, and we can talk through those with God, and maybe even with the people who were involved in the incident as a child, and grow beyond that too. There has to be growing in the process of recovering or overcoming pornography. So for some people, it takes a lifetime. For some people, it takes months, weeks, or a year or two. For some people, it's freedom for most of the time and occasionally going back until you live or die, or until you live without it. But what do we do with the sexual energy that we have in the meantime? And I'm talking to many single people, I think, listening to this, and perhaps many young people listening to it. Some people, some Christians, think that it's either have sexual pleasure or call upon God and have no sexual pleasure at all. That, now, you may not voice it or articulate it in those particular words, but that's the attitude that people have, that God is not into our being sexual, and that sin is. And so Satan says, come along, enjoy it with me. And God says, no, don't enjoy it at all, just be holy. Now, I know I'm sounding a little facetious here, but I'm really not. I'm trying to be quite serious about this. The idea that it's sex and no God, or no God and sex, is a very prevalent, unspoken belief or feeling among Christians. Of course, Christians say, well, yes, Colin, but I'm talking, I believe sex is okay and very beautiful, but it's all within marriage. Let me express to you that that is not an accurate statement. And I'm saying it because of the following. A person starts being a sexual being after puberty, or as puberty launches, and there's all that sexual energy building up in a man or a young man or a young woman's body. And what is he to do with it? You might say, well, he has to control it. Yes, well, what do you mean control it? Well, not express it, not think about it. But you're being utterly unreal, aren't you? I mean, how was it for you when you were an adolescent? Well, you say, I didn't believe what you are trying to tell us. No, you didn't. And how did you experience it then? You experienced it in guilt and shame. You still experienced it, didn't you? You still experienced your sexuality, but you experienced it in guilt and shame, and you couldn't come to God with it, could you? So how is your position any better than mine? You're laying torment upon young people. But I'm not saying, as you think I'm saying, that these young people should go and have sex wherever they want. No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that young people need to learn how to open their sexual energy to God and not close down to Him. If you think that overcoming your addiction is a process of not feeling sexual energy at all until you get married, but you're not likely to get married, you say, because you've been addicted all your life and you're late in the process and you're 40 or 35 or something and you might not stand much of a chance now, then what do you have to look forward to but no sexual expression whatsoever? This is unreal. It is unreal. Because we are sexual beings. Sexuality is not simply what you do with your genitals in relation to someone else. Sexuality is the reality of your maleness or your femaleness in regard to other people in relation to God. Now, I'm talking to men mostly, and I will be quite frank with you. I will tell you that most men approach their penis like a jackhammer instead of play it like a violin. They have no clue. They have simply no clue. This is why so many women are unsatisfied with men, because for men it's over in a few minutes, and women are still experiencing the ecstasy that takes much longer for them. Most men and young people do not know how to experience their sensuous body. Have you, for instance, learned when you are sexually feeling a lot of sexual energy to open your heart to God? To say, Father, I'm feeling a lot of sexual energy today. To perhaps spend a little time with yourself, man or woman. Take off your clothes, experience your sexual body, and give thanks to God in His presence for it, and to experience the ecstasy of an orgasm with praise to your Heavenly Father. You say, Colin, this is outrageous. How in the world do you have the gall to even talk like this publicly? And I say to you, how do you have the gall to forbid what is not forbidden? I want you to read the Songs of Solomon. I urge you to read the Songs of Solomon again. As you read the Songs of Solomon, and remember it was written very, very carefully in poetic form, the writer of the Songs of Solomon must have taken months to compose that poem. Let me ask you this. As he was writing, and as poets write, they get into a deep, deep realism. Do you think he was aroused in the process of writing it? Do you think, remember, the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit inspired the writer of the Songs of Solomon, do you think he aroused him in the process? Well, of course. If you read that book carefully, it is a very sensuous book. Granted, it may be an expression of a typology of Jesus in relation to His people, but it is also an expression of human experience. And the Holy Spirit was actually encouraging the writer to talk positively about sexuality before their marriage, mind you. Because when we know sexuality in the presence of God before marriage, we are likely to have a better marriage thereafter. Look, let me put it another way to you. If you have approached your struggle with sexual addiction, pornography, in exactly the same way as you approach everything else in the Christian life, switch God off if there's something naughty you want to do, then I guarantee that your sexuality has not grown since you were a kid. Your sexuality has not grown since you first orgasmed at 12 or 13 or whatever. But as you bring your sexuality into God's presence, you begin to learn more and more human responses, rather adult responses. You learn more maturity in regard to that body of yours. You learn how an orgasm is more than just genital, but is full body and perhaps mental and spiritual as well. I'm not talking New Age stuff here. I am talking about knowing ourselves in the joy and presence of the Lord. What does this do? Does it increase lust? No, it shows you the difference between lust and passion. Lust is experienced when God is switched off and you are switched off and you become a zombie and a victim to mere sexual stimulation. Passion is an expression of your personhood in relation to God. Lust is dark and evil and manipulative and uses people. Passion is beautiful and innocent. Now, as a young person learns this, he prepares himself for marriage. If a young person doesn't learn this, he does not move towards healthy relationships and uses the opposite sex or the same sex. You may be shocked by what I'm saying, and because you are shocked, you think I am wrong. But I ask you, examine where you get your shock from. Often culture is confused with religion. Often culture is confused with truth. Christians have said that a self-orgasm or a masturbation experience is wrong. And where did they get that information from? Where did you get it from? How do you know that? And have you imposed upon your children or upon yourself a law that is too much to be borne, too heavy to bear, and have created an addiction for yourself because you have not known the grace of the Lord, not known the liberty of the Lord, not libertarianism, but liberty of the Lord that can enable you to know the sweet joy of His presence in your passion? When you do, you will be more in control. You will be less inclined to go to pornography because it seems empty and dark by comparison, and you will be more inclined to know the beauty of ecstasy. Remember, just as Christians got the rapture wrong just because they read a book about the rapture and thought Christians would disappear into the kingdom of heaven while the rest of the world suffered until Jesus came, so you can get physical rapture wrong because you don't know the grace of the Lord. And I invite you to have the courage of faith to learn it. Only just over a week to go for our next seminar, Saturday the 25th of October. I hope you'll make a date with me. Just put a note on your calendar. 25th of October at La Quinta Inn. This is the subject, I believe, but it's all the other stuff. Somebody says, what do I do when my life sucks while I'm trying hard to believe? So what we're going to do is explore the various ways our faith in Christ can know grace in chaos and respond to life issues like, I believe, but where is God? Or I'm mad at God? Or I struggle with depression? Or my life makes no sense? Or I worry all the time? Or I can't stop doubting? Or why all this suffering? So many people would be great believers if they didn't have any troubles, any of the other stuff. But we have to learn how faith and the kingdom of God has broken into the other stuff and makes a difference and changes its outcome. So this is Saturday, the seminar is Saturday, the 25th of October, 9:30 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 9:30 to 3. There'll be places we can go to lunch too afterwards, and some of us go to one place and we can all sit around the table and chat together, and you can ask more questions if you like. 9:30 to 3. Where La Quinta Inn is where the seminar is. La Quinta Inn, 7190 West Hampden Avenue in Lakewood. That's the South Frontage Road of West Hampden Avenue. Recommended donation, $60 to $100, but please don't be put off by that. Some people have told me they feel embarrassed to come because they have no donation. Listen, please, you should know me by now. Don't be put off by not having enough money to afford a donation. If you can afford it, great. If you can't, come anyway. I want you to have the blessing more than I want to get some help with the ministry. All right, see you then. Cheerio and God bless.